Your choices will affect your life here and throughout eternity. Your choices are very important, absolutely important. So many things that we need to choose. A lot of things we choose. For example, we choose to get up early in the morning or choose not. We choose to fast or we don't. And you can go on saying it. There are so many challenges or so many things come before us. And then we need to make the right choice, not the good choice. The right one. Failure of making the right choice will lead us into wrong places, into wrong marriage relationships, choosing a partner, or even any other thing that's so important to us that'll affect our destiny. The choices are very important. Are you making the right choices? Have you made any choice? Have you settled in your heart? If you know that God has called you with a holy calling, and there is only once that you can answer that call, the moment you're out of, we are out of this body, it's all over. We will never get another chance to serve in this body and to fulfill the great and mighty heavenly call that God has reserved for us in the anointed Jesus. So I was just in prayer thinking about, and suddenly this came, and I never prepared to speak about this evening. And I am convinced that the Spirit of the living God will come around in the coming days and confirm it. God called Abraham in Genesis 12. And even before, when he was in the land of Ur. And he asked him to leave his country, his kindred, his relations and all that, to a place that he will show him. Now Abraham is left with a choice. He has to choose. God never forced him, you got to do this. No. He never appealed anything through a bait for him so that you can choose God's plans. No. God was very frank, open, as he always is. So, Abraham made the choice to leave the country, to leave his birthplace, his relations, his kindred, everyone. That was his choice. No one can blame God on the last day for the choices that we have made. And we don't realize it now. I was really amazed that so many people taking life so easily, and they make nonsense, blunt, dumb choices, not realizing that it is going to terribly affect their life right here. And hinder and destroy and stop all the blessings and the secret and wonderful plan of God that God had for them. In the spur of the moment, they make the wrong choice. See? So I want to just please focus on this a little time. Right now, what are the permanent choices that you have made in your life? with regard to eternity? And what are the choices that you are making daily to assist that permanent choice that will go with it? So that the choices that you make daily or in other days will not become a hindrance for the goal and the destiny what God has called you. You know, everything comes down to a choice, and God places it before us. You choose. That's your responsibility, not mine. So God told Abraham, and they left him like that. And then, you know, Abraham left the country. He chose. Moses, I didn't go over there because you all know that Genesis 11 and 12, where it speaks about Abraham. It's a well-known story. Moses knew from his childhood days that he was chosen. He grew up in a very family that feared God. And when time came, he chose, the Bible says, he refused to be called the Pharaoh's son. He chose that. And living in a palace like that from childhood and having that education, having the fear of God and the reality of his life's destination, a time came he had to make the choice to forsake Egypt. And it is so written, that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 26. People, they wonder and they marvel about Moses, how great prophet he was. And God worked through him in a mighty way with my gosh, very special miracles. And they think, oh well, he was a very special vessel. No. Was another one God never forced? No. He will never force anyone. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of the anointed one greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He did not choose a comfort zone. And the devil asks you, what are you going to get? Where are you going to stay? How is going to be your income if you leave and serve Jesus? Who is going to give you the money that you earn? The comfort that you have? You see, these are all questions thrown that you before you, that you to make you confused and to stir up your fleshy self ego. But Moses, living in a palace in wealth, chose to suffer affliction. That was his choice. And that's why he became the leader and taking people out of Egypt, even though he could not take them because of their rebellion into Canaan. God worked mighty, mighty things. Never rose a prophet like him before. So much so, God had to do the burial for him. Never said about anything. And devil wanted his body. Fought for his body. These are all true. Can you believe that? And Michael arguing with him? No. So that was Moses' choice. What is the choice that you have made when things are placed before you? At this present time, or things are going to come before you. You look around you, and what choices you will make in order to go forward with the upward call of God that is inside of you, that heaven has called you. It's not man. God, Jehovah, has called you and me. But answering that call depends on many choices that you're going to make. That's going to come, has already come. What have you chosen and what will you choose? And the other one, you all know that there's another lady who was in palace, and God has put these things very clearly for us to know that the time will come or it will be put before us suddenly that we got to make the choice. If we are not living a crucified life, if we are not living a separated life, what is holiness? Living separated unto God. Not perfection. Holiness is separated. You live in separation to God. You live for God. If we are not living a crucified life, and not many are living, when we need to make choices, most likely, I would say, we will make the wrong choice. For the self is fully alive. It's not crucified and remaining on the cross. I like when Derek Prince says, since it was not so with many people, those who started with him, when he turned back during his ministry, many who had a very specific call on their lives fell away. They knew that. But somehow, the challenges of this cosmos, this world, whether people, things, or whatever wealth, dragged them away. And they made their wrong choice, which would have definitely affected this current life and life in eternity. What will you do with this very short life that God has given? Is it an accident that the Lord is speaking to you towards the end of this year, 2006? December, what is this? 23rd? Is it 22nd? 22nd? The Spirit of the living God is speaking to you and me. The choices he has left to you and me, the biggest important choice which you and I cannot make, he did it. He said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. John 15, you know that. I have chosen you. You know, it is because he has chosen you that you are listening to this message. It is because he has chosen you that you have been having access to the other ministries, anointed ministries. It is because he has chosen you that even now the devil had not put his hand on you to destroy you and me. It was his choice. We didn't choose Jesus. He chose you and me. But this may be so difficult for our minds to take up. But it is true. The word says it's true. Esther was in the palace. And she was having a very good life. She was not living in sin. She was taught by her uncle. A stepfather, I would say, for Mordecai became her father. For she was without parents. And Mordecai taught her in the word of God. And things, events took place as time passed. She went to the palace, chosen as queen. And suddenly, a challenge came. Jews were in trouble. Haman was plotting to assassinate them, kill them, get rid of them. And Mordecai, he prayed and he sent word to Esther. Oh, I tell you, even though the word God is not written in that book, what a message and how God used that lady with no father, no mother. Rose to the position of as king, as queen. And by her own choice of rejecting this life, the comfort life, the palace life, her position as a queen, she chose to be a help to deliver the Jews who were in trouble. She went. She had to go before the king. And it could mean death to her. And you all know that. I mean, we don't have to go over there, do we? It's chapter 4, right? Esther, chapter 4. I think verse
Sometimes it doesn't work.
Verse 13, Esther 4, verse 13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I remember speaking this a long time ago in Australia. To a church. Do you realize that God has brought you and me to the kingdom in such a time as this? This scripture speaks to every believer. You are a king. And you have come to the palace. You have come to the palace of the Son of God. You have come to the kingdom of God in such a time as this. For what? What is the reason? It's to stay in a church, sing some songs and pay your tithes and just live? No. See, so Esther had to make a choice. What did she do? Esther told them to reply, "Mordecai, go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She made the choice even if it comes death to her life, that she will go. So it was a choice. No angel appeared to her. God never spoke to her directly. No. Nobody prophesied over her. It was her choice of laying down her life in order to save God's people. What a time that we are living in, with the knowledge and the revelation of the good news of the kingdom. When we have received more and more and more and more revelation of the message of the kingdom, and to hold on within us, and when people are perishing out, and as the churches continue, see, they thought that end was going to come in 2000. Many got down from the upper top floors and then came running down because the earth was, the world was coming to an end. Especially I heard about in Canada when we were here. And now, 2000, 2001, 2, 3, 4, now 2006, and it's a few days, 2007. And the church, in my opinion, the many believers who know that they are called in such a time as this, but they are in the comfort zone, cannot make any choices, cannot come to a decision. No, they cannot. Esther's choice. Of course, it was risky, but she decided and made the choice that she will go before the king. And God brought the deliverance to the Jews. And today, we read about her life. And even that book is named after her name. I wonder whether she knew about that. It's going to be there throughout eternity. Why? All because of her choice. Then we know about Nehemiah. Can go on seeing these things. It was his choice to leave the palace again. Thank you, Lord. In the first chapter you read, he was a cupbearer, a very highly respected job. What do you mean by a cupbearer? Whatever drink that is given to the king had to pass through Nehemiah. He has to sip it first. He has to taste and drink it first to check whether there's no poison there. What a privilege to be near the king, and the king trusted him. And being in that job, living in the palace of the king, he prayed, and what God had put inside his heart, and he made a choice, and he prayed, "Oh Lord, grant me grace through this king, that I may go and see the welfare of my people in Jerusalem." It was his choice. He chose to give up that comfort zone and that life. I don't know why God is speaking this in a day like this when I prepared something else to speak about the Lord Holy Spirit. And while in prayer, I received this. And I was weeping. I said, "Lord, why again?" But it's so strong, the word choice came. What choices have you made? There are certain choices that you made, you and I, it took us into real difficulty. I tell you. And we regret, "Oh, what a blunder I made of the wrong choice." And sometimes we buy choosing a wrong thing, or going to a wrong place, choosing a wrong friend, choosing so many. Oh, I tell you, how many are weeping, how many are in total confusion, depression, and kind of, I would even say, in hell, literally, right now, in this life, going through so much of agony and pain, for they have made a wrong choice of a life partner. It was a choice. You can't blame the circumstances. You can't blame anybody for your choice. You chose. That was your choice. And so God gave help and grace and victory through Nehemiah to build the walls in Jerusalem. And his name too, written in the book, after his name, the book comes again, Nehemiah, like Esther. See that? The strength of the choice, the importance of the choice. What choices are you making? I have seen people, honestly, hear this, in this ministry, these 24 years, people just live without making any choice. And I see their lives. There is no thrill. No choice at all. I remember, thank you, Jesus, way back in 1982, when something was placed before me regarding the kingdom of God. By attending a seminar, never knew that God was going to unveil a part of just a little bit of the blueprint of what he was going to do through me in the ministry which ordained for me before the foundation of the world. And it came so strong, and I said, I am taking it. I'm going for it. I said, I am taking it. Come what may, whatever it may be, I am going for it. I don't care what people say. I don't care what anybody say. I am going for it. Thank God, God helped me. Now I have so many families, so many brothers and sisters, even though my fleshy parents and brothers and everyone left and went away, my cousins, all dead and gone out of this world. But the brothers and sisters in the Lord, which God has given me, and the children of God, God has given me, I cannot say in words. I cannot express in words. And the love of affection, the concern that they show, I said, Lord, this is really worth exactly what you said. I will give you, yes, mother and father, brothers and sisters and children. Jesus said, it is true. It is true. And lately, God is making me to hear. Well, some people will talk to me and say that, we need a father. Why delay? We are blessed with the messages, but we need a father. You see, what choice are you going to make? Or have you made? People make some, you know, they wait until the 1st of January for make choices. I don't believe that. They wait for the 1st of January. Okay, I'm going to decide not to drink. Okay, I'm choosing not to smoke. These are boneless, backboneless choices, decisions. You have to wait until the auspicious time. You know the three Hebrew children living with Daniel? They chose not to bow down to the idol. It was a choice. See the importance of choice. No, I have chosen this. That's it, period. And their names too, now written in the scriptures for how many thousands of years now. Choices are so important. Very important. You cannot choose something because of somebody else. Because somebody likes it. No. You choose. That is between you and God. You choose because that affects your eternity. And this life, that's your choice. Mama cannot choose for the son. And son cannot choose for daddy. Or daughter cannot choose for daddy. No. One sister cannot choose for the other one. No. What about Luke chapter 10? You all know that. You don't go ever go there. Martha and Mary. I think we better go there. That Jesus tells about very clearly about choice. Luke chapter 10. Now Jesus loved both. Now if you made a wrong choice, that doesn't mean that Jesus will not love you. That's so interesting. He will still continue to love you. But you do not know how much you are going to lose. All the plans what he had for you. Luke 10. Now Jesus was giving, sharing his word. Father had given him in the house of Martha. Probably there were about more than 70 people. After her ministry, a lot of people in that house. Okay. Now verse 39. And as she had a sister called Mary, Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now Martha, if you read the first verse, verse 38, she welcomed Jesus into her house. She greeted him, "Come in, Jesus." For many believers, they do that. "Lord, I love you. Come in, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I like to sing for you, Lord." Greeting, praising. But then they stopped with that. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. I don't need to go deep into that. With Martha's condition in front of to tell Jesus, it was an accusation in front of everyone. Fools are known by their mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know, in my own opinion, I do not believe that Martha had close relationship with Mary for her to come in front of everyone and then tell her, "You better tell her." I believe she could have easily gone, bent down and spoken to Mary's ears, right? "Would you come and help me, please? Come. Are you here?" But look at Jesus, what he says. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen." Can you see that? It's a choice to pray. "I don't feel like it. I don't want to." It's a choice. You know when you should pray, we should pray when we don't feel like it at all. You know when we should read the Bible when we don't feel like it at all. Because that's the attack of the enemy. We should go against it. Even if you don't bless people the other time, you better bless those people when they curse you. Yeah, it's very, very important. Mary chose the good part, which will not be taken away from her. See, when you choose the right thing, I believe God helps us to hold on to it, that it will not be taken away from your hands. Is that true? And Jesus confirms that. And Mary was hearing. That will not be taken away from her. She chose the right thing, to hear his word. Probably Mary or Martha never had another time Jesus coming and preaching or teaching the word. So how choice is so important? Very, very important. When time came to go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, and some prophets came and then told Paul, "This is what shall be done for this man," and took his belt and tied him up. Okay? And the other people, they begged of him, "Oh, Paul, don't, please, don't go." But Paul made the choice. And then he was so strong, head on, going towards the call of God for his life. You see, that's Acts chapter 20. Have you taken it? Chapter 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Now, Paul chose to suffer God never told him to go. The Spirit of God never told him. The Spirit of God told him, this is what's going to happen. But it was his choice to go forward. It was the choice of Jesus to go to Jerusalem, even though Satan tried to hinder him through Peter and hinder him through many other times. It was his choice even to stay back and talk to that woman at the well to do the will of God so that that woman will receive the word and go and bring the whole village. And the revival took place there. It is the choice. Your choice and my choice, very important. Sometimes very choices that seem so unimportant are very, very important. Very important. The little choices that we make, they really become a trap for our spiritual life, for our calls. See? So Paul chose, Jesus chose to give up his equality with God in Philippians chapter 2, you know it. Chose to come down, sent by the Father. Chose to be born as a man. Chose to do the will of God. That was his choice. What is your choice? What choices have you made that is going to, listen carefully, affect your eternity? Your choices will not only affect this life, and it will affect the eternity. Think about it. You can live without making choices. Or you can live by making choices for this life. And many do. Those who are in Satan's kingdom, in darkness, of course, they make choices, whatever connection with this life, whether it's buying a house or marrying a person or whatever. But it's so shocking for believers who know the Lord to be very not serious about making choices. Yeah. Like Lot, you know, you can choose, even though you know something about God, and choose a good place and then, you know, perish over there. Mess up your whole family. Or Demas followed some time and he chose to go into the world. He was with an anointed man, a powerful, a miracle worker. God was doing special miracles through Paul. And he loved the world and he went away. Choice. It is your choice for you to come this evening, right? You chose. No. God to be there somehow. Are you there? Are you listening? It's your choice. What about, I just want to tell you about in the Matthew chapter 7. You know, I think I told you before, that scripture is many people, and I too believe from most of the time, that's talking about heaven and hell. See? Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. You know, you receive Jesus Christ and you repent, and the receiving Jesus Christ has absolutely, there is nothing to do with this. But then thereafter, the position of you're born again that leads to life, that ends up in eternal life, continuation, had to do with choosing. You got to choose Now that you are born again, are you listening? The narrow gate. It is not, you know, sometimes I thought, narrow gate, oh, it's Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus is not the narrow gate. He is the door to salvation. You just enter in. And thereafter, here it comes, choosing the narrow gate that leads to life, an abundant life, fulfilling of your plan. God ordained the plan of God, your life. So that's your choice. There are so many God's people will go through wide gate and then go into destruction. They will never taste the abundant life. They will never have fulfillment in their lives. Have you chosen the narrow gate? Difficulty is the way God is asking you and me to choose. Difficult way. Many will tell you, why do you have to choose that? God gave us everything to enjoy. Have you chosen the narrow gate and the difficult way? Did you ever imagine this question will be put on to you this day? That leads to life. And there are few who find it. There you go. Not many will find that. Not many. This is not talking about unbelievers finding Jesus. And I'm personally convinced, and I believe the Spirit of God is making me to say that it is your choice and my choice to choose the difficult path, to choose the narrow gate for the fulfillment of God's plan. Not for salvation. Not for salvation. Jesus was not talking about this to the Gentiles. He was talking to the God's people. The Jews. Are you hearing me? So, choices are so important. Now you can choose to go and sit down and think about it for some time and ask the Lord and talk to the Holy Spirit. Or you can choose to go and just fall on bed. I'm not saying that you're sinning if you do it, but it's, everything is a choice. We can choose to sleep late on a day which we are not working, or we can choose to sacrifice and then get up early and to be in the presence of God and to redeem the time. Are you there? You know, in Joshua chapter 24, people couldn't make choices. You know, I have seen this. When people cannot make a choice, listen carefully, is that when witchcraft is in function. When witchcraft is operation, when there is strife, there is confusion, you cannot make a choice. I don't know what to do. Right, Joshua, I'm thinking, I don't know which one. I'm just praying, but I'm simply confused. Oh God, please help me. See, the soul has got into so much of confusion. They cannot choose the right thing that will affect the kingdom of God, affect eternity, your life. Today I read in a paper, one lady is living, she's 117 years old in Montreal. Long life, right? You can have long life, but then not have the plan of God, living the plan of God through that life. Oh yes. 24, Joshua 24, 15. Have you been listening? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, I don't want to go into even the book of the Kings, the first book of First Kings. If you read chapter 17 and 18, the spirit of witchcraft was in operation through Jezebel, and they were confused. They could not make a decision. They could not make a choice. When you go about in your normal routine of life, let me say this to you, you become molded and you cannot make the right choice. And most often, people make the wrong choice. And they think, oh, why God has done this for me? And then God is not going to come around and then tell them that was your choice. No, he will be silent. He's not going to tell you and accuse you or criticize you. Think about now in the past. I know that I've made some dumb choices. And never blame God, never blame anybody. Just me. But there is always forgiveness in the kingdom when we turn to the Lord. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And get me out, Holy Spirit, of this ditch. And he will do so. That's his responsibility. Amen. That's his responsibility. That's his part of his ministry, very important ministry, to get us out from the ditch. And we acknowledge, where are you? Help me, please. He will get you out. And so he says, so Elijah said, how long will you be under two opinions? You can't make up your mind. You can't make a choice. If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And you cannot have two opinions. If you love this life, go on, man. Love totally and fully. Get into it. The young believers can tell you, oh, there is so much to enjoy. That's all. When it comes to spiritual life, when it comes to the thing of the kingdom of God, zero. The challenges are so much that you have to really, you need the help of the Lord. And living a crucified life will escape from the snare of the devil. So Joshua asked, choose you this day. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve. Joshua made a decision. He made a choice. We're going to serve the Lord. Either we serve the Lord or we serve ourselves. You can go and worship any dumb idol. But that doesn't come. When they worship Baal, that's out of self. When self becomes center, you go into demonic worship. That can be anything, whether it's thing or a person or anything. When the self gets detached from the recreated spirit, are you listening to me? What choice have you made? And what choice will you make? Now people have already started saying we are getting into 2007. Number 7 is the number of the Holy Spirit. Great things are going to happen for God's people. And we need to get into God's calling before it's too late. We need to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. We need to be in the right anointing with the right message. Snatching souls from the hand of the devil. Getting them into the kingdom. You see? What have we chosen? Sometimes God tells us what to choose. He says, choose life. He places before us Deuteronomy 30, 19. He places before us, I have given you my word. I have given you blessings, and there are curses in this earth. So many, if you deviate from my plan, from my word. And he says, I will tell you, choose life. He's telling us, like children, choose life. His word is life. Jesus is life. The Holy Spirit is life. Choose life. The word of God is life. It doesn't give you life. It is life. Yeah. Jesus Christ never gives life. He is life. He who has the Son has life. It's our choice. We can say, Lord, I have to do a lot of that and this and that. I got to serve. I was serving, and then I looked at Peter and John. They didn't have anything in their hands. I got to run. She was distracted, and there will be distractions. There will be severe distractions and diversions, but that which anchored, thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that which anchored Mary to the word was her choice. And Jesus said that anchor will never be detached from her. I saw a young girl, some of you know, a couple of days ago, and I looked at her and I knew her soul was running all the way. Cannot concentrate, cannot do anything. Absolutely. A ship without an anchor, just going about. Mary was hooked. And Martha was troubled, that soul, no anchor. Hebrews 6 says the word of God and the promises of God, the anchor for the soul. But the life pattern is so much so. Pharaoh's same principle of life. You run wild. God understands, and the devil knows too. And there is a leak in our spirit. And the anointing leaks away. The desire goes away. And the time comes, you say, I have no desire. I don't know what I am going to do. But God is telling you today, choose to read, whether you like it or not. Choose to meditate, whether you like it or not. Choose to hear the messages, anointed messages, whether you like it or not. Choose to praise God, whether you like it or not. No, I don't feel like it. Come on now. Choose. That means you've got to give up certain things. Jesus never told Martha, now you better see that you give something for these people. Otherwise, they're going to grumble. They are after a heavy day's ministry. I'm just saying this to you to get her some light. We need to choose. You know, in Proverbs, I'm finishing, 129, many things and disasters will happen. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That is a choice. The fear of the Lord is a choice. Ananias and Sapphira did not choose the fear of the Lord. Do you choose? Have you chosen the fear of the Lord? Then you are going to run towards your calling. Lord, help me. Please, whatever. Even if you don't get anything, I want to see that you hook me up with your call. I want to run towards it. So, choices are so important. Very important, so serious, people don't realize. Israel They were so happy to leave Egypt. They chose to leave Egypt, but they did not choose to enter Canaan. They chose to go back. It's your choice. Caleb and Joshua chose. Now begin. We can go. Can you see the importance of choices? We can choose to be involved in some good things and not the right things. It was a good thing for Martha to be involved at that time. She was not watching TV. She was serving the people who came with Jesus. They were his disciples. And it is proper to serve them and bless them with whatever drink or eatables or whatever. Are you with me? It was a good thing. It was not the right thing. When are we going to learn? There are so many good things we are involved with. People who have a specific call, making wrong choices, choosing them some good things. And therefore, eternity will be affected. This life will be affected. The devil can place before you any good thing. You see, the greatest strategy, I want to mention that again, of the devil is to get us involved, preoccupied in some good thing. Every day we are making choices. From morning until we go to bed, we make choices. You choose to have a shower, right? You choose to eat. You choose your clothing, what to wear. It's a choice. How come when it comes to so important heavenly things, what we just put the ball in God's court, he's not going to take it? That's your choice. That's your choice and my choice. Choose this day what you will do with your life. Choose this day what you will do with this coming new year. God permitting when we enter this new year, 2007. Even this night, may the Lord Holy Spirit, the reality of his indwelling presence within you and me, convict us and give us light to know where we are, geographically and spiritually. Father, we thank you for giving us this word today. We give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious Lord Holy Spirit whom you sent. We've taken a permanent residence in our spirit. We worship you, Lord Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to make the right choices in Jesus' name.